98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. Brought to you by Collins Comfort Masters, proud home services partner of the Arizona Cardinals. 4 o'clock reset.
Yeah, in case you missed anything today, you're just getting in the car or whatever, you have perfect timing because the 4 o'clock reset will get you completely caught up. We'll start football. We'll get into the new additions that the Cardinals made at corner just a few minutes, but the team did release their practice squad roster today, Gambo, and Chris Banjo's name back on there, so good to see him back.
Yeah, you figured, listen, that was the one, like, okay, this doesn't make any sense. Like, there's got to be something. You know, maybe he just wasn't 100% healthy and they had to make sure. And that type of thing. I don't know what it was, but like to me, that's the one. You're not getting letting go of Chris Banjo if he's healthy and ready to play. He's a good player. He's a good special teams player. He's a good team guy. He's great in the locker room. So that made sense that if he's healthy, he's going to be playing for the Arizona Cardinals.
Wide receiver Greg Dortch on there as well. Jace Whitaker, the corner. James Wiggins, the safety, among the names on the practice squad for the Cardinals. Baseball last night, the D-backs nearly were no hit in their loss to the Padres.
Blake Snell pitched great. He had a no-hitter into the seventh. They left the game with a no-hitter. They went to the bullpen because he was at 107 pitches. David Peralta broke it up as badly as they played, and at least they didn't boot the ball around like the night before. I mean, I don't know, you pick your poison. Like, would you rather get three hits and you don't get a hit until the eighth inning? Or would you rather, you know, watch the Bad News Bears throwing the ball all over the place.
I mean, I don't know. Third option, right? Doesn't there have to be a third option?
Today's been the option. Luke Weaver came back today and pitched extremely well for the Diamondbacks. His first game back in a long time, and that was really good to see.
Yeah, he went six innings, one earned run. D-backs beat the Padres today.
Fantastic news to see Luke Weaver back and pitching so well.
Beat Yu Darvish too. He's been struggling lately. He's been really bad, actually.
Yeah, and the Padres, when you look at the standings, like, man, like, you know, that team not too long ago. I mean, it's a two-team race between the Giants and the Dodgers. The Padres fell apart. They're 14 games out of first place.
I was looking forward to that potential wild card matchup with the Dodgers and the Padres, because who knows? Like, one game, Tatis could go off, Dodgers could be done, and but now they're going to catch the Giants.
And the Padres are battling right now. The Reds and the Cardinals and the Phillies are all in it for the wild card. The Padres are tied right now with the Reds for the wild card spot.
And finally, in the NFL, Urban Meyer and the Jaguars in a bit of hot water with the NFLPA after the Jacksonville head coach said that players' vaccination statuses did play a factor in determining the team's final cuts.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL will definitely look at that. I mean, people are asking those questions. Was Cam Newton cut because he wasn't vaccinated? Is nobody going to sign Cam Newton because he wasn't vaccinated? I mean, these are things that are being talked about a whole lot, and teams have to do what's best for them. I don't know. But if the Jaguars did that, I'm sure that there will be player representatives of some of those players that if they weren't vaccinated and they got cut, they may have something to say about it.
But our top story, as it has really all week, revolves around the Cardinals' corner position. And
let's go.
You had it earlier today. They add Razzle Douglas and Antonio Hamilton, so they at least get some experience at that position.
Yeah, you know, I got wind earlier this morning that there was a really good chance that they were going to get a couple of veteran players, that they were going to be able to sign some. So this morning, around 10 o'clock in the morning, I tweeted out, I expect the Cardinals to add multiple cornerbacks by the end of the week. If these players are veterans, they could be on practice squad, but flexed to play in games. Here was my hint. These are players who would have become free agents when released and not able to be claimed. So these are guys now we don't know if the Cardinals put a claim in or not. They were 16th in the pecking order to claim a player. So we're not going to know. They weren't awarded any claim. I think there were 27 players claimed. I think that's the number I had this morning. 27 players were claimed. The Cardinals obviously were not awarded any claimed players. Maybe they didn't make a claim, maybe they did, but they didn't get anybody on claim. So what they did in getting Rasul Douglas and getting Hamilton, they end up getting two players that have experience. They get two players here that have experience. Antonio Hamilton has experience, and Rasul Douglas has experience. So I think that's what you look at when you look at the Cardinals right now. They needed to add some cornerbacks. They added some cornerbacks. They added cornerbacks that have experience playing, especially Douglas. Played 3 years in Philadelphia, had a good season with Carolina last year. And I was even looking at his snap count earlier. You know, he played in a great, pretty decent amount of snaps. So that's something you look at. I'm going to give you a snap count. with Philly, 41%, 52%, 57%. And last year with Carolina, 78% of the snaps.
Wow, okay.
So you're getting a player, he played 546 snaps, 60 games, 29 starts. So is he a great player? I mean, he got cut. Cardinals picked him up. He's a veteran with experience. That's valuable for your fourth and fifth guy. It's valuable that the guys that are backing up your starters are players that have had experience and can come in a pinch and help you out in a game or multiple games if necessary. So 41%, 52, 57 in Philly percent of the snaps, 78% of the snaps in Carolina last year.
Well, they had no safety net. The second, I mean, we talked about this earlier, even if Malcolm Butler wasn't retiring and everything was just normal, you probably still go add a little depth at that position anyway, some veteran depth for like a four or a five guy. But with him retiring yesterday, and you look and you're like, okay, even if Marco Wilson is an amazing rookie and Robert Alford's fully good to go for a full season after missing the last two, and Byron Murphy is ready to become like an elite corner, you still don't have any depth. They had no safety net if anything else were to happen. And especially with Douglas, you're talking about a guy that everything you just said, I mean, it's look, is he a great corner? If he was, he'd probably still be on a different team. But he's an NFL player. He's not a project that you're trying to work in. The guy you just read off his snap counts, he played a ton last year.
Yeah. You know, and Hamilton's another guy who's got some experience playing. So that's a guy you look at and say, okay, he could come in. And you're looking for quality depth at the position. These guys give you depth. Now, here's the interesting thing about them being on a practice squad. You can flex two players each week onto the roster. So these guys will have an opportunity to be flexed. I would expect at least one of them will be flexed in the opening week. There'll be three practices next week. They'll have three chances to practice, get accustomed to Vance Joseph's defense. And I think there's a chance that at least one of them would be flexed to be able to play in that game on Sunday, their first game of the season when they play Tennessee. So that's what we'll look at. But both of those players, Antonio Hamilton was released by the Buccaneers. He's been a really good special teams player. He was a really good special teams player with the Giants and then last year with Tampa Bay. But he's got some opportunities. He's played in 57 games in 5 years. He's got a couple starts under his belt. So the Cardinals add two depth guys that have veteran experience to their practice squad. But again, they can be flexed, and that would allow them to play on Sundays.
Yeah, and if one of them has to play against Tennessee in a week and a half, it's a lot different. Hey, this guy's going to come in and play as our fourth guy off the bench, you know, if somebody just needs a rest for a couple snaps. That's a lot different than we got to find somebody to step in and be our number one corner. That's not what these guys are.
No.
And they haven't been practicing with the Cardinals, obviously. But if they got to step in and play a few snaps here or there in the opener, they've played in the NFL. When it was the stat I had earlier, that if you look at Robert Alford and Marco Wilson, their combined NFL experience in the last two seasons is zero games. These two guys have played a combined 62 games over the last two seasons.
Yeah, and that's the part that's valuable, the experience that comes in. You know, if you were asking these guys to be your number one, number two, and number three cornerback, then I think we might have some issues. You know, that you might have some, but ask him to be your fourth and fifth guy, I think I'd rather have the experience than a kid that's really raw and doesn't have it. So I like where they are from that perspective. If they were asking this guy to be your first, second, or third, and I said this the other day, they were not going to sign anybody that was going to be better than Byron Murphy, Robert Alford, or Marco Wilson. They just weren't going to be able to get anybody that was better than those guys. So what they got is they got a couple of veteran players to come in and add depth to their roster. Now, these players, they were vetted players, so they had enough experience in the league to where they weren't going to get when they got released, they were free agents. They weren't claimed. They couldn't be claimed. So people have asked me that. No, they couldn't be claimed because they were vetted. They had enough experience to where they just went immediately to free agency.
Bix Picks is back for the 2021 NFL season. Text Pick to 620-620 to sign up and compete against Dan Bickley for your chance, the grand prize of a tailgate package featuring a Yeti Tundra cooler and grill courtesy of Modella Especial. Weekly winners will receive a $100 gift card to Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. So text PICK to 620-620 to enter. When we come back, Cliff Kingsbury spoke today about how he plans to use Andy Isabella this season. We'll discuss it next. It's the Burns and Gambo Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. All right, so what do we ended up with six receivers on the Cardinals roster, the 53-man roster. And one of them was not Keyshawn Johnson, but Antoine Wesley.
How about that?
Yeah.
Antoine Wesley.
You don't see a lot of stories like that You know, like at the start of camp, it's always like, hey, maybe somebody will break through and make the team, and then nobody ever does.
Yeah.
He did. He broke through. I mean, he passed Keyshawn Johnson and made the team.
How about that? Yeah, you know, are they going to still look for a wide receiver, or is he the guy?
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, in the NFL, make the team means you're on the team for that day.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens
next day. See what happens. But, you know, they didn't claim any wide receivers and grab anybody there. It was the cornerback. So that was, yeah, I mean, Wesley making over the team over Keyshawn Johnson was the biggest surprise.
So Andy Isabella, and I will give you credit, you said this all along, Andy Isabella was going to make the team, and he did make the team, all the way back to when we did the poll question like 3 weeks ago when I was in here, and you guys forced me. I said, I don't know if Andy Isabella will be on the team in 2022, and you shamed me into making a prediction for this season.
And what'd you say?
It's not important what I said at the time. Yeah. What's important is Andy Isabella's on the team.
Listen, it's okay to be wrong.
Is it? I don't think it is on this show. That doesn't feel like
it is. That's right. On this show, you are not allowed to be wrong. You must be correct. People expect correctness on this show.
It's the first thing that you told me when I walked in, and Dave Burns told me that when he's like, I'm taking a vacation, don't ever be wrong.
If you need an example of that, pronunciation on this show is top notch all
exactly.
the time across the board.
Yeah, sports information needs to be correct. Pronunciation could be wrong.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we could be wrong with pronunciation.
Oh.
I am so bad at pronouncing names, just so bad at
or states. Iowa.
That's funny. Oklahoma.
I think the other day you said when you were talking about the Buccaneers, there was a tamper in there.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely a tamper.
Is it part of the legal
Which
tampering
is a different
period?
Word, yeah.
Yeah.
I love it, though. It makes me smile every
What's
time.
What's a state that ends in an R?
Nebraska?
Nebraska, that ends in an R. Oklahoma, that ends in an R.
That's the only one I can think of.
Is there a state that ends in a Florida? It ends in an R.
Yes, there's a lot,
If you try hard enough, they all can
they
end
all
in an R.
Georgia.
Georgia
ends in an R.
What about North Carolina?
North Carolina?
Yeah.
Is there a state that ends in an R?
There should be.
What's a word? Give me a word that...
I'm thinking hard, and I'm...
Give me a word that ends in an R.
Refrigerator.
Refrigerator. No, you take the R. You take the R off.
Yes,
refrigerator.
The R becomes an A.
Okay, so there's a completely different language on this show, too.
You make no Nibidos? States that end in R.
No
what
states
a fun
that end in
fact.
R.
Wow.
So fun.
I learn something new every hour.
Hey, lady, is your refrigerator working? Is it? Yeah. Is your refrigerator running? You better go catch it. So stupid when we were 10.
So let's both say the same sentence. Did you get your refrigerator from Georgia? Now, how do you say it?
Refrigerator, Georgia.
Okay, good. Oh, glad we established that.
We have this, A's. If it ends in an A, you add an R. And if it ends in an R, you pronounce it as an A.
All right. So then Andy Isabella.
I've really tried to work on that. Over the years.
You have. I mean, it's not like you just moved here yesterday.
I've tried to work on it. I mean, I think I've gotten better at it.
I don't think you can. Like, I don't work on it. It's like, it's who you are.
It
don't
is
change
who
it.
You are.
No, like, the first thing I did when I got into radio was try to, like, tap down my accent.
Okay.
So it's not, like, too overpowering. Because people are like, what the hell's this New Yorker, doing here? Like, okay, I've been here for 25 years. I've been here for 25 years, like a long time.
Okay.
But sometimes the accent could get really, I still have it because when I moved here, I was like 30. So it's not like I moved here when I was 10 years old, like Vince Murata. Like I moved here when I was older, so I still have an accent.
So did Vince used to have an accent too, you think?
I don't know. But Vinny moved here at such a young age, so you lose it. But if you move here from one of those other states and you're older, like the chances are you're not going to lose your accent.
But if I came in tomorrow and you were like, hey, Luke, how's it going? I would be very thrown off. Like I wouldn't be able to.
Yeah.
If you just had like a generic no accent.
I try to not use it as much on the show. Huh. I do.
That's alarming.
No, I do. I try to not use it on the show. It's totally worse when I'm at home.
Is it really?
Oh,
I think
my
you should,
God.
Don't
totally
hold
worse
back.
When I'm at
just
home.
Just go all out.
Nah, because like I said, sometimes it's a lot of people don't like that accent. My wife can't stand the accent.
Wow.
Oh, hates the New York accent.
Hmm. And you use it more when you're not here.
Just when I'm home, what's the word? Subconsciously, I know that I have an accent, so I subconsciously try to talk like at a lower tone, a little bit like so. I don't know what it is. I'm aware of it, so I try not to use it so much.
Well, I don't think it makes any sense. But okay. Andy Isabella is on the team.
Yeah, we knew he was going to be on the team. Like we reported it last week. He was going to make the team. It had nothing to do with the preseason game against New Orleans, which obviously wasn't played. He came back after missing 15 days. He had great days of practice. So while he was practicing, you know, and I knew he was going to make that team all along. We talked about it, but he played well enough. And the other thing, and I had said this a couple of times, Christian Kirk is on the final year of his deal. AJ Green's on a 1 year deal. So Andy Isabella with 2 years under contract this year and next year, you wanted to hold on to him because he's valuable because he's got 2 years. If you cut him, he would have got claimed right away. He would have because of the speed. And because, you know what, honestly, when you crunch the numbers in the limited time that he's played, his numbers are not bad with the amount of targets and then receptions and yards. It's actually not bad at all. So he was going to make that roster. We reported it last week. He was going to make the roster. It had nothing to do with the preseason games. He had made the roster. The Keyshawn Johnson thing, I obviously was not aware of that. I had no idea Keyshawn Johnson was not going to make the team. I wasn't aware of that. But, yes, we did know that Andy Isabella was going to make it regardless of whether there was a preseason game against New Orleans or not.
Yeah, and you brought this up the other day. You know, you start to look at the Cardinals receiving group and you look beyond this season and you're like, okay, well, yeah, you got DeAndre Hopkins and you're building around a couple guys. But, I mean, you know, AJ Green signed for 1 year. Christian Kirk is only signed for one more year. If you still think Andy Isabella is a part of your future, you may not have to lean on him much this year if you still see him as somebody you can develop potentially this year and then use him more maybe down the line next year.
I don't know.
Year.
You know, I don't know how they'll use him. I mean, you've got to get the ball to DeAndre Hopkins, you got to get the ball to AJ Green, you got to get the ball to Christian Kirk and Rondale Moore. You've got tight ends, you've got running backs who could catch the ball, and then you've got Andy Isabella. I mean, you know, I don't know how much he can factor into what they're doing, but if you can get him a couple of balls a game, I mean, you know, he's got the potential to help you. He hasn't broke out yet as far as a player in this league. I mean, he's still here. Like he's surviving. He's still here. He just hasn't established himself yet. But it's not like he's been cut. He's going into his third year on the team.
Cliff Kingsbury was asked today what makes him, Andy Isabella, and Rondale Moore different. Because I think a lot of Cardinals fans are like, okay, you drafted Rondale Moore. You don't need Andy Isabella anymore because they're very similar. And in some ways they are. But Cliff had this to say.
Speed, you know. I mean, speed like that is rare. And so we'll see how it all works out. Rondale brings a different element with the quick twitch in space, sudden movement stuff, and Andy is a real burner down the field, and so we could definitely have him on the same field at the same time if that is kind of how the game plan plays out.
That's interesting.
Yes.
If you can put them both out there at the same time.
Sure. I mean, if you have that, because he's right about the speed. Like, that's the one thing about Isabella that we just, man, that's a lot of speed. Can he catch the ball? Can he run the right routes? Does the offensive line have enough time to protect Kyler? Can Kyler see him? I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it, but we know he's got that, you know, incredible speed, and that's why they just didn't want to get rid of him. They wanted to hold on to him.
Have you subscribed to the Burns and Gambo podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android, and you'll never miss any of the show. It's the Burns and Gambo podcast brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealers. When we come back, well, Luke Weaver just pitched pretty well. The D-backs got a win. We'll talk to him next. It's the Burns and Gambo show on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. All right, well, we have a second. Let's go back to Sarah Cazell for the Sanderson Ford poll question.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Sarah, how you doing?
I'm spectacular. How are you?
How you doing?
It got suddenly quiet, so I jumped in and sounded like Joey Tribbiani for some reason.
Hey.
Hey, what's going on?
Okay. All right, let's get into our poll question, which addresses the Cardinals and the initial 53-man roster. Chris Streveler is on it as a third-string quarterback. So we are asking, do you agree with the Cardinals' decision to have him in that 53-man roster, given that, like you guys have pointed out, 53 is kind of a tight squeeze? Yes or no? Do you agree with that move?
Yeah, I think I voted no, but then when you hear Cliff explain it, I mean, it makes sense. Like, Cliff explaining it like, hey, listen, if Kyler goes down, we do want somebody that could run the offense the way Kyler does, and that's not Colt. He's 34 years old, and he doesn't move, but Streveler does. So, I mean, I think, my initial spot was, man, I'd like to save that roster spot for somebody else that could play, and you only need the two quarterbacks, and maybe you can keep a quarterback on the practice squad. But I understand Cliff's point, too. Like, I want to have a guy there in case, but he's not going to dress. Like, if Kyler goes down in a game, it's not like he's going to, He's not going to be dressed for that game, so it would be the next game that him and McCoy would probably share some of the duty.
Yeah, I mean, and I get a lot of that. I just, because it's only a 53-man roster, I'm still voting no. But I do understand the – I want to see how it plays out. Because, like, if Kyler's going to miss a few games, if it's just, like, two or three, you need to be able to win a couple of those games. If he's going to miss a chunk of games, you're probably screwed anyway.
Yes, definitely. So. Well, 72% of our voters say no, they do not agree with the Cardinals' decision to have Streveler on that initial roster. 28% say yes, they do. And I asked for people's explanations, so there are a lot of different replies, a lot of different input right now. If you follow us on Twitter, at Burns and Gambo, one word.
Awesome. Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Gambo, D-backs got a win today, 8-3 over the Padres.
Yeah,
final
meeting
with them all year.
Yeah, Luke Weaver pitched extremely well. We're waiting on Luke Weaver right now. He's doing a... media conference with the beat writers on the team. But he pitched extremely well today. They got the win in his first start back in a while. He had not pitched since May 16th against the Washington Nationals. So that's June, July, August. I mean, over so 3.5 months he had not pitched. And, you know, I'd sort of say, like, he you know, Luke's been somewhat of a tease because there are times you see him and he looks so good. And you're like, man, he could be... You know, he could definitely be a third starter for your team if he's pitching well, but he's had, you know, the numerous injuries, and he's not, you know, he's not, not that he's old, but he's 28 years old now. I mean, he's not young, so he's right in that group, and you got to make a big decision. Is he a part of your future going forward or not? He's been here for 3 years, but in those 3 years, he's only pitched in a total of 33 games.
Yeah, part of that Paul Goldschmidt trade in that first year in 2019, it was
with me when the Goldschmidt trade went down. We were on a remote when that trade went down.
Yeah, and Luke Weaver's obviously one of the guys that got back Carson Kelly, too. But that first year then, because I remember when that trade went down, I was like, I don't want to trade Paul Goldschmidt. You're like, they got to get some pieces back for him. And then Luke Weaver pitched the next year. I was like, man, 2.94 ERA,
yeah,
I'll take it.
No, he was really good that first year. I mean, he was. I mean, with the 2.94 ERA, but... You know, he's got 8 wins overall with the D-backs in his 3 years. 8 wins. But there's a lot of talent there. You know, he's got a great arm, and if he could stay healthy, he could really help this ball club.
Yeah, well, like you said, I mean, he shows flashes. It's not just a, hey, this guy's a big name. He did it in St. Louis. He's shown flashes with the D-backs, and you wonder how much the injuries and just not really being able to get into any sort of routine, maybe that has derailed him. I heard Bick Lamorato was driving in. Vince brought up, like, this unfortunately has been a familiar thing the last couple of years where it's like we're bringing Luke Weaver back to get him some innings in before the end of the season because he was hurt. There's nothing he can do about it other than go out and pitch well today like he did.
Shoulders scare you with pitchers, mm-hmm. And that was a shoulder injury. Shoulders scare you. Elbows don't scare you as much. It sucks, but there's Tommy John surgery. You fix the elbow, the guy's out a year, and then he comes back. And it's almost the norm that guys are going to get it. It's the shoulder that scares the hell out of you when you guys got to – and then he went on the injured list with a strained right shoulder, and that is what really worries you with a pitcher is the shoulder. The elbow, like I said, the elbow, they fix elbows, and it takes a long time to recover from it, but they can fix them. The shoulder, that's more difficult.
Well, they've got tomorrow off, the D-backs do. Like I said, that was their 19th meeting with San Diego this season. They finished 8-11 against
the
Padres.
If you're the Padres, you don't make the playoffs, you're going to be like, man, we lost 8 games to the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
We lost 8 games to Arizona. So, you know, that's the Giants have had the Diamondbacks' numbers. The Padres are fighting for their lives in the wild card. I believe they're tied with the Reds for the wild card spot. The division, I'm hoping the Giants win the division. Just got to say, I hate the Dodgers, and that would bump the Dodgers to a wild card. So right now your wild cards are the Dodgers have the first wild card, and then it's a tie between the Padres and the Reds for the second wild card. And there's other teams involved. The Phillies are right there. I think the Mets are like 5 games behind. So there are other teams.
Cardinals, too.
The Cardinals. So those teams are all in the running. But San Diego, with all the money they spent, everybody expected that they would be a playoff team.
Yeah, I think most people are, here in the Valley, at least, are with you. How great would it have been to see a Padres-Dodgers, and we still could, but Padres-Dodgers in the first round, in the wild card round, where it's just a best of one, and who knows? Like, San Diego, as much as they have underachieved probably this season, they catch you in any game. And the Dodgers go out in the wild card round, that would be outstanding. But
no,
now,
that would be great, wouldn't it?
Now the Dodgers, they're 7-3 in their last 10. They're on a tear. They might catch the Giants.
I mean, when you're spending $260 million on your payroll, man, it's like, no, you do after a while. You like, they do it, like it's unfortunate, but like, I worry about, like, how do you compete in a division, you know, when a team's spending that, I mean, like if you're the team that's in the middle, like, if you're the Yankees and the Red Sox, they spend a lot of money. Somehow Tampa Bay competes every year. It's amazing.
but they compete. If you're the Diamondbacks and you've got a big spender like the Dodgers, and now the Padres with a new owner, the Padres are a big spender. You worry about how do you compete when you can't come close to the payroll that they have?
Yeah, you know, you try to follow the blueprint the Giants have put together this year. I mean, San Francisco is still in first place by half game over the Dodgers, and the Padres are spending a ton of money, and San Francisco's 14 games ahead of them. But you're right. I mean, Tampa's the better example because Tampa does it every year. And
every year.
Tampa's 8 games up on the Yankees
and
this
year.
And
they get rid of guys, right? They got rid of Blake Snell. They move guys when they have to move guys. The Giants have always traditionally spent a lot of money on their payroll. So they're not like spending at the Dodgers level, but traditionally the Giants usually spend a lot of money on their payroll.
Yeah, well, I guess it has paid off so far this year, but absolutely we'd prefer to see the Dodgers and Padres meet in that wild card round. Although, like you said, Padres might not even make it. They're right now tied with Cincinnati, and they lost 8 games to the D-backs, so if they miss the playoffs by 1 game, they probably are going to look back at that
nothing
series.
Nothing against the Reds. Give me the Padres in the playoffs. Give me Fernando Tatis in the playoffs,
yeah.
Man. I nothing against the Reds, but I'd rather see the Padres in the playoffs. I'm going to root for San Diego.
The Clubhouse Call-In with Burns and Gambo. Presented by American Telephone, your partner for cloud communications. Serving Arizona for over 30 years. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
All right, Luke Weaver was back today and had a great game. 6 innings, just 1 earned run allowed. D-backs win 8-3, and he joins us now. Luke, how you feeling coming off your first game in about 3.5 months?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm a little tired, too, I can't lie. But it was a fun game for sure.
Luke, it was great to see you back on the mound. We watched that whole game, and you were just mowing them down. You just really pitched a great game. But 3.5 months out, the shoulder, I was just saying, shoulder injuries for a pitcher is always scary. Sometimes you feel like the elbow could be fixed, but you know, how did you feel rehabbing with a shoulder injury?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we see that the elbow is kind of advanced and how we can recover with that, but the shoulder is always something we always hear and we get cringy with. But it's just a lot of patience, you know, just trying to make sure that the healing time was there, and then in that patience, just building up the right way, making sure that, you know, we're not getting ahead of ourselves, especially me, and just making sure that all the milestones, you know, checkpoints along that recovery process are hit well and, you know, just hit strong in general. And, you know, a lot of work was put into it to make sure that, you know, I try to avoid like something like this again. You know, this is twice this longer term injury has kind of happened to me. So, you know, really took a lot of emphasis on making sure I can get everything foundationally correct and to not let it happen again.
Well, we saw when you first got here, I mean, 12 starts, you had an ERA of 2.94. I mean, just absolutely fantastic. The ability to stay healthy is obviously the key for you. So hopefully, you know, you figured out some of those things. But what are you, you know, for the rest of the season, for the final month of the season, what are you hoping to accomplish?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think it's, you know, obviously it's not really proven that I'm healthy because I feel confident and there's no questions, you know, ifs or buts about that. But I think it's just going, getting there and deep in the games, being efficient with the pitch count, taking what the game's giving me like today. You know, we all like the strikeouts and such, but that gets us really high on our pitch count. And I think the regress of the day and just understanding how the game is going. And with that being said, I just want to get some good amount of innings under my belt and obviously limit the damage and, you know, just go into the offseason on a really good note. And, you know, obviously our baseball club to end strong and feel good about how we played the last month.
Yeah, for today specifically, it being that first start since mid-May, I mean, how did you manage expectations? And then, you know, beyond that, San Diego's got a pretty good lineup, and it looks like everybody was in there today. What was working for you specifically today?
Yeah, well, I knew it was going to be a challenge. I knew that they're trying to win baseball games down the stretch, and they're going to have their guys in there. And so I just took it as a challenge. And honestly, like, as far as expectations, I didn't really understand or know what people were thinking. I thought expectations, honestly, might be low just based off of how our seasons went, you know, how the progress has been with me of just being hurt and how, you know, good of a team they are. So I just said, hey, let's just go out there and not necessarily shock the world, but let's shock them a little bit and really go right after them. And, you know, I wouldn't say that they were on their heels by any means, but I just felt like I executed really well with fastball command and all the work I put in to be consistent as possible. And That proved to be a big plus for me today.
It's
something I'm definitely proud of.
Yeah, how about that 6-run third inning, too? I mean, that had to help pitching. Once you got to the fourth, you were pitching with a lead.
Yeah, that's always nice. You know, the first couple of innings, you're trying to, you know, battle test and make sure you limit the damage and try to get into a nice groove. But, you know, you're facing a guy like Darvish who's really, really good and, you know, able to string some hits together and some damage. And you're like, wow, that's really six runs right there. And so it just makes you want to attack more. You know, you don't have to be so cute or fine around the plate. You just go right after him and stay aggressive, you know. And obviously that last inning got me a little bit, you know, that pitch. He got out in front and put a good swing on it. But, you know, just it was a strike, and that's all I can ask for is just staying ahead.
You know, I know veteran pitches. If you're a veteran pitcher and you've got, you know, 175 innings under your belt three times or 200 innings under your belt a few times, like you really don't worry about how many innings you pitch. But for younger players, when you don't have – how does this affect you next year for guys that – you know, that like you threw 46 innings so far this year and 52 last year and 64 the year before. It's hard to ramp that up and throw 200 innings in a year. And I know last year every player had to deal with it in a shortened season that they weren't getting their normal innings pitched.
Yeah, you make a great point. And I think we're seeing a decent amount of injuries this year just on, you know, the volume that's come in. And there's a point to be made on that. It has to be managed to an extent because you're pushing your body past the limits it's ever been. But I think just paying attention to how outings go, you know, like a game like today, there's less stress kind of going on when you're filling up bags and there's a lot of traffic, but you're getting out of it. Like there's a lot of tension and a lot of stress that's put on the body. So that five innings there, as opposed to a six innings like I had today are really different type of innings. And so, you know, as a staff and as, you know, a good self-evaluator, you just got to understand those things and track it along the way.
Well, Luke, we're really happy to see you back pitching for the Diamondbacks. Congratulations. Six great innings today. You get the win, and, you know, can't wait to see you pitch again in 5 days.
I appreciate it a lot. Thank you guys for having me.
All right, that's Luke Weaver from the Arizona Diamondbacks. Six innings, four hits, one run. Did not walk a batter today. Struck out three. Had been out for 3.5 months with a shoulder injury. Nice to see him back.
Text us your thoughts on the D-backs to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. When we come back, ASU has building expectations, at least externally, and now we're kind of getting more insight that internally they're expecting big things this season as well. We'll get into that next. It's the Burns and Gambo Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. ASU football tomorrow. So about 27 hours. I think it's the 7:30 start from Sun Devil Stadium. ASU taking on Southern Utah tomorrow. They, let's see.
What are they favored by?
It better be a lot.
Arizona's, it better be a lot, yeah.
Let me see. I mean, because, again, Southern Utah just lost to San Jose State 45-14 last weekend. So let me pull that up.
For what it's worth, Southern Utah is expected to be one of the worst teams in the Big Sky this year.
Yeah.
And that's a juggernaut of a conference.
I do like the Big Sky perspective.
It's like the guy talking to Buttermaker. Buttermaker, we're going to be the worst team in the league.
The line I'm seeing is ASU by 45.
Okay.
I don't know if I've ever seen an ASU line that high before.
I haven't either. And is the over under 55? Am I reading this right?
You are reading that correctly.
So they're expecting.
Give me the 45. Herm doesn't run up the score.
Yeah, he doesn't.
And Herm is not a guy to run up the score.
ASU's not winning by 45
except
tomorrow.
Against Arizona.
Oh, that's true. They did win their last game by 63.
First of all, ouch.
Wait, I paid.
And secondly, ow!
Wait a second. I paid for an education at U of A, not ASU. So there you go.
Yeah, but that doesn't make that hurt any less.
I know. But remember what Jed Fish said when he was on with us.
Never again.
Never again.
Never again.
Never again.
That, wait, I didn't hear that. So the reference was they're never going to lose to ASU by 63 again?
But I think when I said to him the final score, I said, what does the score mean to you? He goes, never again.
Yeah.
Like,
what do you think of when you see that score or something like that?
Yeah. That was
a good interview.
Say it. I kind of like Jed Fish early on.
He has made himself an incredibly likable character.
Agree.
For sure.
Totally agree.
I hope he doesn't win more than like three games consistently, but I wish him success in other areas of his
life. Did you go to ASU?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you went to ASU?
Yeah, they have all my money.
Yeah. You're still paying it?
Well, no. I have new money now, but I don't want them to know that. It'll come take that too.
You're gonna get a donor call in 4, 3.
Noticed your bank account isn't empty. How would you feel about donating?
I didn't go to college, so I don't know how this works. Do you guys get like donor like things in the mail? Like donate?
And phone calls.
And
all
phone calls
the time.
Too?
Yes. And usually
really?
Like, at night when you're at home. during dinner or whatever, and you're like,
who calls?
Leave me alone. It's, I mean, there's a department at the university.
No way.
Hi, I'm so-and-so. I'm a student with whatever department. I don't even remember what it's called.
Alumni Association.
Alumni Association.
At NAU. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what do they say to you?
Oh, we've got so many great programs that people like you can help fund if you would like to give a gift of at least 100 or two or whatever. And, you know.
How do they have your phone number?
I don't know.
I feel like everybody somehow has my phone number at this point.
Yeah. I feel like half of Phoenix has mine.
Yeah.
I get text messages all the time from people. And I don't know who they are because they're not in my phone and they don't tell me who they are.
So do you just play along?
I don't respond. I'm like, I don't know. Like, put your name down. And like, so now I just give out my phone because I don't care. Like, half of Phoenix has my phone number.
This is why you never respond to me when I text you?
Just half of Phoenix. Like, I get so many calls and I get so many text messages from people. Like, if we're talking about a topic, yes. I'll get three messages from people that aren't in my phone and will say something. I'm like, I don't.
What?
I swear. I don't.
That's
like,
weird.
I like, somehow. Because what happens, like, if somebody gets your phone number once, they hold on to it. And they, I even put your phone number in my phone, but they have my number.
Yeah.
For something.
That's
I don't
probably
know.
Some alumni association. Like, we can't get them because you
ever
didn't go
worry
to school.
About that.
Well, so they're probably calling you, asking you for, like, insight on the Diamondbacks.
I never have to worry about an alumni association. I never went to school.
That's ultimately the genius
benefit
move.
It was.
Yeah.
Right?
Where were you when I went to school? Where was this advice when it would have helped me?
That's what Burns always talks about. Like, you know, he went to school. You guys all went to school. I didn't go to school.
He went to all the schools, didn't he?
He went to all three. Yeah.
He must get three sets of alumni calls every day.
Honestly, probably.
He's probably on
Jordan, you
break
get those
right
calls
now,
too?
Yeah, and mail. I got a piece of mail about a couple months ago that was addressed to Miss Jordan Bird.
Oh.
So my alma mater doesn't even know what gender I am, but they want my money.
They don't care.
Yeah.
They just want your cash. Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. I guess I could have assumed that, but I didn't know that.
You're lucky they didn't just put $$ Jordan Bird on the address.
I wish I would have went to college. I could have had fun.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it is a good time. There's a trade-off, but it's a great time.
You said you still have eligibility.
I got plenty of eligibility. I never went to school. I could go.
This needs to be like a Netflix series.
Gambo goes to college.
Back to school, yeah.
Yeah, we're doing it.
Well, ASU, I don't think they're going to win by 45.
What happened if I walked into a class, sat down like a student? How you doing?
We should do this. We got to do this. Just have somebody film it.
I think it depends on what kind of class. I mean, if it's one of those.
I'd like social studies.
Well, I'm just saying if it's one of those auditorium where there's like 200, 300 kids, then you wouldn't go very noticed. But if it's like a small senior level class where there's 15, 20 kids and Campbell comes walking in, that would be pretty funny.
I like history.
Yeah, like advanced like history for graduate students.
I don't know how to write in script. Do you need to write in script when you're writing?
No.
What do you just do everything on a computer now?
You're typing it.
What do you mean script? Like cursive?
I don't know how to write cursive.
No one writes in cursive anymore.
I don't think you need to.
Do you know how?
I don't even think they I can sign my name, but no.
That's all I can do is sign my name.
I don't even think they teach cursive anymore.
They don't?
I mean, that was like, I learned that in third grade and never used it after that. So.
I never learned how to write in cursive. I don't have no idea.
I think it's like a dying art.
Oh, good. Let it be dying. It was always stupid.
This whole segment's coming up Gambo. He doesn't have to take the alumni calls or write in cursive.
Let's go.
All right. Now that I wasted the entire segment.
Yeah, it's just
fully charmed kind of life is what Dave Burns would say.
So we will assume ASU is going to win 48-3. That's what Vegas is telling us tomorrow.
48-3. Herm doesn't run up the score.
Unless it's U of A.
He doesn't run. That's Herm. He's not that. He doesn't run up the score.
I just have to think, too, like, first game of the season, you're probably not going to be firing on all cylinders.
But here's what you do. Like, the problem is, like, you can't just take a knee for two quarters.
No.
We're going to run the ball. But if they can't stop the run, you're not going to go throw a 40-yard pass. That's why a lot of those receivers last year in the final two games, you didn't get to see anything they did because ASU won those final two games so can. You know how many passes they threw against U of A in the second half?
Oh, gosh. I don't even want to know.
Two.
Ooh!
They threw two passes in the entire second half against U of A because they were killing them. So those young wide receivers that are on the team now, they didn't really get an opportunity to play because Herm doesn't throw the ball. But here's the problem. If you play in Southern Utah, you may still average 10 yards a carry because they can't stop you. You're not going to throw the ball, but you still may get plenty of yards running the ball because they can't even stop you if they know you're running it.
Yeah. Rashad White's going to have 300 yards rushing tomorrow.
No, they'll get him out. You know who's going to have a big game?
Chip
Watch
Trainum.
This. Nagata. The third running back. You watch for him. He gets a lot of carries in blowout games. telling you, player of the game tomorrow, the third string running back, Nagata.
Okay. For what it's worth, you have an invite, Gambo, to join Paula Bovin's class at ASU in the Cronkite School.
I love Paula Bovin.
So do I. She's the best.
She's great.
Yeah. So you're going to learn about sports journalism, Gambo, and how to do it.
I think I know how to do it.
Well, you've been invited to join Paula's class, so
then you should be able to get an easy A.
Yeah, I should be.
I bet there are some things you can still learn from Paula.
Can you imagine having Gambo in your sports journalism class? He'd be correcting the teacher as she was up there. Like, no, that's not how it happens.
No one's correcting Paula Bowman.
People would be cheating off Gambo in that
class. That's right.
Oh, full circle.
You're damn right they would. Be like, hey, dude, like, hey, old guy, you, the radio guy, hey, what's the answer to this? What's it like? What do you learn in journalism class?
It is 458. How to break is what we should be learning.
Oh, I thought that was like the class number. Journalism 458.
That's what I thought at first, too.
The time is 458. We need to go to break.
Well, we didn't go to journalism school, right? We come back fourth hour.
You learn how to go to break on time.
Yeah. All right, we come back. The Cardinals have a couple new players at the cornerback position. We'll get into that next. Burns and Gambo show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.